Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From You're listening to the English program by The Voice of Indonesia, and we'll be giving you the highlight of the week, presenting you what is happening in Indonesia this week with me, Steve. You can listen to this broadcast on the shortwave broadcast on 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, as well as on our online streaming platforms, voanews.id and RRI Digital Mobile App. These are the top stories. Indonesian government officially launched the free health checkup program on Monday. Indonesia's economic growth in second quarter of 2025 reached 5.12% year on year. And here is highlight of the week. Indonesian government officially launched the free health checkup program on Monday, and there are several steps needs to be taken before a student got his final checkup result. More detail by Dika Dian Ananda.
The Indonesian government's free medical checkup officially started on Monday this week. Minister of Health Budi Gunadi Sadikin earlier last week said that the initiative aims to reach more than before, exactly at 282,317 schools from all educational levels. Cideng 02 State Elementary School is one of the schools in Jakarta that receives free medical checkup on Monday this week. The examination is done by health workers from Gambir Sub-District Community Health Center, which is located near the school. Satrio, Gambir Sub-District Community Health Center's Head of Public Health Effort Implementation Unit, on Monday said that before conducting health examinations to all of the students, the school submits self-health screening filled by the student or their guardian to the local community health center. After that, they coordinate with the school to decide the time for a free medical checkup for further health screening. He also said that there are several steps that need to be taken to fully examine a student's health.
Students must undergo height, weight, and blood pressure checks, dental screening, eye and ear exams, and a fitness test. They must run 1 kilometer or approximately 13 laps.
Satrio added that the results of the checkup will be reported back to the school. Students will be asked to return to the health center if any illness is found, free of charge. In addition, the community health center also works with the school to improve students' physical health. 3. A health worker from Gambir Sub-District Community Health Center said that they will work and coordinate with school through physical education.
We determine the intensity of exercise each week, the type of exercise, and the frequency.
By providing the free health checkup in schools, the Indonesian government is committed to strengthen preemptive health services through school. This program also expected to be able to build a healthy lifestyle from an early age. Dika Dian Ananda, Voice of Indonesia.
In an effort to improve public health from an early age, the Indonesian government launched the free health checkup program at schools on Monday. Principal expert of Presidential Communication Office or PCO, Adita Irawati, said that the program is an implementation of President Prabowo's vision to develop human resources in the country from an early age. Dora Pardede has the details.
The Indonesian government launched the free health checkup program on February 10, 2025, targeting 281 million Indonesian beneficiaries. Of that number, 53.8 million are school-age children. To further reach them, the government also launched the free health check program in school on Monday. The launch was carried out simultaneously in 12 schools in several regions. On Sunday, staff of the Presidential Communication Office, PCO, Adita Irawati, stated that the free health check-up program in schools is an implementation of the president's vision of developing human resources from an early age. Adita explained to Voice of Indonesia that through this program, the government wants to ensure equitable access to healthcare, including for school-age children.
This program is part of the President's Quick Win program in the health sector, which emphasizes promotive and also preventive approaches. This program is also a long-term investment in the health sector for children. The government wants to ensure that the entire populations, including the younger generations, has equitable access to health services.
Adita added that the free health checkup program at school targets children aged 7 to 17 years with screening categories depending on their age group. This program is designed to children in the elementary, junior, and senior high school. Dora Pardede, Voice of Indonesia.
Australia affirmed Indonesia's position as a friendly country and a partner of ASEAN. This was demonstrated through the visit of Australian Minister for International Development, Anne Ali, who visited Indonesia and Timor-Leste. More story by Ofra Regina.
Australian Minister for International Development, Anne Ali, began an official visit to Indonesia and Timor-Leste as part of Australia's commitment to strengthening its regional role amidst complex global dynamics. This visit marked Australia's commitment as Indonesia's strategic partner in development, education, and disaster management. Speaking at the Australian Corner Istiqlal Mas, Jakarta on Monday, NLA explained the close partnership between Indonesia and Australia, saying that the close relation between the two countries goes beyond mere geographical proximity.
Australia and Indonesia share much more than just a neighborhood. They share a long and lasting friendship.
In Jakarta, NLA is scheduled to meet with several cabinet ministers and representatives of civil society organizations to discuss development cooperation in line with Indonesia's priorities. She reiterated Australia's commitment to strengthening regional collaborations with Indonesia and its ASEAN partners to promote a shared, inclusive, and sustainable agenda. Meanwhile, in Surabaya, NLA is scheduled to visit the international campus of Western Sydney University and meet with Indonesian alumni, as well as to discuss educational partnership and disaster preparedness with regional leaders. From Indonesia, NLA will continue her trip to Dili, Timor-Leste, to promote national development ahead of the country's membership in ASEAN in October 2025. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
The government confirms that coding or code writing and artificial intelligence curriculum has been implemented nationally and will continue to be developed with the involvement of various parties. More story by Ranov.
Indonesian curriculum has included coding and artificial intelligence since 2024. This curriculum is designed to equip students with skills relevant to the digital era, such as problem solving, creativity, and digital literacy. Minister of Primary and Secondary Education Abdul Muti in Jakarta on Sunday stated that the coding and artificial intelligence curriculum has begun to be implemented in many school level, including at the elementary, junior high, and senior high school. He also explained that the government keeps improving the training in this field by involving various parties.
Coding artificial intelligence training is running and it involves training centers. It has already begun at national level. Many schools have already offered coding and AI as elective subjects at elementary, junior, and high school levels.
The Indonesian government will develop the coding and artificial intelligence curriculum by 2025. Abdul Muti explained that this curriculum will be an elective subject for final year's elementary school students. This program is designed to strengthen the daringness of the younger generation to face future challenges and develop students who are more competitive and capable of competing globally. Rano, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia continues to negotiate with the U.S. on export tariff. Rizka Fadila has the detail.
As the United States new import tariffs are set to take effect on August 7, 2025, the Indonesian government through the Ministry of Trade is still continuing the negotiation process to maintain the competitiveness of national export. Trade Minister Budi Santoso said on Monday in Jakarta that Indonesia hopes tariff negotiations can be completed before January 2026. He hopes that the United States can lower tariffs, especially for products not produced there.
The process is still ongoing. We hope that all commodities will be finalized for negotiation before January 1st, 2026.
Ministry Budi further state that the Indonesian government continues to push for trade diplomacy efforts and the protection of the domestic market. This is done to achieve the national export target of 7.1% amidst global challenges. Rizka Fadila, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia and Belarus have agreed to strengthen cooperation in the tourism sector by simplifying the visa process. The agreement was made during a meeting between Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono and Belarusian Foreign Minister Maxim Rezhankov in Jakarta. More detail by Rano.
Indonesia and Belarus have agreed to make it easier for Belarusian citizens to visit Indonesia by improving the visa process. The agreement was announced after a bilateral meeting between Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono and Belarusian Foreign Minister Maxim Rezhankov on Tuesday in Jakarta. Foreign Minister Sugiono said that Indonesia welcomes the increase in tourist visits from Belarus.
We are committed to expanding these connections through various partnerships, including academics, tourism promotion, and professional collaboration. His Excellency also mentioned about the visa process for Belarus nationals to come to Indonesia, and we also welcome the growing cooperation, and I will also assist in resolving the visa issues to increase tourism and cultural exchange between both our countries.
In response, Belarusian Foreign Minister Maxim Rezhankov said that simplifying the visa process is important to improve connection between people and to expand cooperation in education and tourism.
Accordingly, we discussed prospects of closer engagement in the areas of education and healthcare. We also agreed to promote people-to-people contacts through developing exchange in culture and tourism.
In addition, both countries agreed to strengthen cooperation in international forums, including within the BRICS group. Indonesia and Belarus will continue to support shared goals in regional and global discussions. As a member of the non-aligned movement, both countries also confirmed their commitment to peace and equal sovereignty. Rano, Voice of Indonesia.
Minister of Health Budi Gunadi Sadikin hopes the government can complete the construction of hospitals in remote areas this year. The effort is part of the government's commitment to achieving equitable health services for the community. Ofra Regina has the detail.
Kesehatan gratis baru diluncurkannya di sekolah. Tanggal 4 Agustus kemarin.
The Indonesian government through the Ministry of Health is encouraging the accelerations of the development of equitable health services throughout Indonesia. This effort is being carried out through several priority programs, namely free health checks in schools, improving health facilities and human resources, and building hospitals in remote areas. Minister of Health Budi Gunadi Sadikin on Tuesday announced that the government plans to build a total of 32 hospitals in the regions. Of that number, 22 are already under construction. After meeting with the president at the presidential palace in Jakarta, Budi Gunadi stated that the government will complete the constructions of all the hospital in second half of this year.
I also reported that we have started the groundbreaking for 22 hospitals in remote areas out of 32. We will start another 10 groundbreaking in second semester. We hope that 12 or 15 hospitals will be completed this year. The public is very happy with the construction of hospitals in the regions.
Budi Gunadi Sadikin also conveyed that President Prabowo Subianto wants all regions and cities in Indonesia to have adequate hospital facilities. In addition to completing hospital constructions, he said the president also emphasized the importance of assigning doctors and providing medical equipment simultaneously. Currently, 70 million Indonesians have enjoyed the free health checkups. The Indonesian government is targeting 20 million Indonesians to benefit from these facilities by Independence Day, August 17. Over again, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia's economic growth in the second quarter of 2025 reached 5.12% year-on-year. The achievement is the result of the positive growth of the entire business field. Rama Shidki has more.
Pada siang hari ini, BPS akan mengumumkan data pertumbuhan ekonomi triwulan 2 tahun 2024.
Indonesian Central Agency of Statistics, BPS, on Tuesday, August 5th, announced Indonesia's economic growth reached 5.12% in the second quarter of 2025. At a press conference in Jakarta, Deputy for Balance and Statistical Analysis of the agency, Muhammad Edi Mahmud, said that all types of businesses in Indonesia has grown positively. Its five industries contributed more than 63% of the gross domestic product, or GDP.
Seluruh lapangan usaha tumbuh positif.
The entire business field grows positively. The main business field that makes a major contribution to GDP is the processing, agriculture, trade, construction, and mining. The five business fields reaches around 63.59% of GDP.
Mencapai sekitar 63.59% dari PDB.
Meanwhile, the Indonesian Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, said that the achievement became one of the highest among the T20 member countries.
Nah, kalau kita lihat, ekonomi kita masih solid.
If we look at our economy, it remains solid. Our target for the second half of the year is 5.2%, and that's achievable. What BPS has announced, thank God, we are back on the 5% track, specifically 5.12%. Indonesia is just behind China, which grew by 5.2%. Among G20 and ASEAN countries, we are one of the highest.
China yang 5,2, di antara negara G20 dan ASEAN, kita salah satu yang tertinggi.
Moving forward, Erlangga added that the government plans to take several steps to boost the economy, including accelerating the free nutritious meal program and expanding labor-intensive programs in public works and transportation. Rama Shidki Pratama for Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian National Research and Innovation Agency, or BRIN, continuously holds research of aerospace technology and satellite development. Ahmad Faisal has the detail.
In commemoration of National Space Day, the National Research and Innovation Agency, or BRIN, hosted the 11th International Seminar on Aerospace Science and Technology in Bandung, West Java on Wednesday. Head of Space Research Center, Space Research and Aeronautics Organization of the agency, Sungging, stated that the event aligns with Indonesia's annual observance of National Space Day every 6 August, reinforcing the agency's commitment to advancing aerospace innovation.
BRIN will still continue to develop such this technology as well on the scientific effort. Like, for example, we established new astronomical observatory in which being developed in the eastern part of Indonesia. A lot of work that maybe can be contributed by BRIN to support Indonesian effort to go to the aerospace. That's quite challenging. So currently we in BRIN try to reevaluate and maybe we try to repurpose the research that can attract younger generation. So we develop several programs to attract younger generation for doing research with us, and we also collaborate with several universities in Indonesia.
Moreover, Sungging emphasized that the agency effort to inspire the younger generation to get involved in aerospace research. He stated that the agency is actively working to cultivate a critical mass of young talent in fields such as rocket science, satellite development, and other aerospace-related disciplines. Ahmad Faisal, Voice of Indonesia.
And listener, that's highlight of the week.
can do it if we just try. Save our world from our own distraction. Time to make a difference.
All it takes is you and I. Raise your hand up and pray to the one that you pray.
To protect our children's children, let us pray. Protect our children. Let us pray.
In remote areas, our search. In urban areas, I was thrown away for no reason. Have you ever thought that I'm what a tree needs to live. I am what animals need to reproduce. I am what humans need to survive. Yes, I am water. Save me so that the earth and its content can continue to be sustainable.
Kami ras terkuat ayah di dunia, dari masak sampai ngurusin anak, KB segalanya bisa.
Jangan kau anggap remeh tinuka, kami kulit anti terluka, anti gosip-gosip. This our prinsip, keren karismatik, kiyola
alam.
Here is the VOA talk about psychological core of Sekolah Rakyat, our people's school, with a psychologist from the Faculty of Psychology, State Jakarta University, Dr. Zarina Akbar.
Voice of Indonesia.
Good afternoon.
afternoon, VOI listeners. Welcome back to VOI Talk on the Afternoon Talk, to be exact. Today, we're talking about something beyond textbooks and also classrooms, the psychological foundation of learning, especially in community-based education systems like Sekolah Rakyat. How do mental and emotional well-being shape children's ability to learn? And what kind of support is needed in boarding school settings that serve vulnerable communities? Joining us is Dr. Zarina Akbar, a psychologist from the Faculty of Psychology at Jakarta State University. I'm Yunika, and this is VOI Talk. How are you, doctor? How are you feeling today?
Hi. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay, since you're doing well, we're going to talk about the wellness of the children and also in psychological aspects of it. As a psychologist, how do you view the importance of mental and emotional well-being in shaping a children's ability to learn effectively at Sekolah Rakyat?
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for the questions. First of all, that maybe we can try to make understand first what is Sekolah Rakyat. Yeah. So as we know that Sekolah Rakyat in here is an implementation of a President of Indonesia initiative aiming at ensuring access to quality education for all layers of society. So Sekolah Rakyat focusing or redefining meaning of education, that education is a right for all children. So it's not privilege for some people only, but it's centering holistic develop and concern educations to all children in Indonesia. So when we focusing for the what is the importance mental and emotional well-being in Sekolah Rakyat, for sure that we can say that mental and emotional well-being as a basic foundation to a child's ability to learn more effectively. So especially in this community-centered education like in Sekolah Rakyat, this this school, which emphasizes the accessibility, collaboration, and localized learning, inherently align with the psychological principle that highlight the role of emotional security and mental stability and academic success. So when children, they feel emotionally safe, free from fear, bullying, stress, depressed, tension, they are can be better able to engage in academic for sure. So in Sekolah Rakyat, in this learning environment are designed to be non-threatening and focusing on student center. So this sense of emotional security can significantly enhance the attention and motivation in students. Also, we know that in Sekolah Rakyat, children or students in Sekolah Rakyat, there may come from diverse socioeconomic backgrounds. So they face many challenges. They are face challenges in their life. So mental well-being is become very crucial buffer or protective factors in their life to foster resilience, perseverance, hope in their life. So I can assume that mentally and emotional well-being is not supplementary in this school, but is very central, is very essential to support the effective learning. So I would also advocate the policies and practices that intentional cultivate the emotional literacy, psychological resilience, and supportive relationship as a part in core education in this Sekolah Rakyat. So again, mentally and emotional being in students in Sekolah Rakyat is very important things. Yeah.
So what specific psychological programs or approaches have you and the school implemented to ensure that students feel safe, supported, and motivated to learn?
Okay. In Sekolah Rakyat, psychological programs or approaches is very important. Again, like I said in earlier, so we can see that a specific program, psychological program or approach that maybe we can apply in here, we can apply Yeah, the first is like social and emotional learning. What is social and emotional learning approach? So in this social and emotional learning approach, students they learn emotional intelligence, interpersonal skills in the class. So it's which critical for classroom engagement, and also for they learn about the conflict resolutions. Also, maybe the other factors or the other program that we can implement also, like mindfulness or relaxation, for example, like psychological program that we can implement to students. So it can help students to reduce their anxiety, their stress, and support their emotional regulations, especially helpful children with a diverse background, with a diverse problems in the classroom. Again, maybe the other program that we can implement also, like a positive behavior support system program. It means that how to encourage the prosocial behavior, helping each other, support rather than punishment to students in the classroom. Peer mentoring also, I think, is very important in here, that encourage the mutual respect and collaborative among students. And also maybe like a counseling or the parental educations also, and program for the supporting their teacher also, it can be implemented. So how we can implement many factors in here, many psychological factors to support the psychological factors, not only for the students, but also to their teachers and also to their parents. So people around or surrounding children that also can be, we can implement also this program. Yeah.
So, based on your experience, what are the most critical, because you mentioned a lot of aspects, but what is the most critical emotional challenges faced by students, and how do these challenges affect their learning outcomes?
In this Sekolah Rakyat, students comes from diverse background. Yeah, they face many challenging in their life problems facing many challenges in their life. So the critical emotional challenges in here is related to their emotional problems. Their emotional challenges in here, because it can give impact in their learning process. For example, like how to reduce the emotional challenges, how to reduce their anxiety when they enter the classroom, for example. When they enter the class, how to reduce their anxiety, for example, and also how to improve their self-esteem, their self-worth. Maybe they come to they enter to the class with a low self-esteem conditions, and it can also influence to their motivation. It become lack of motivation, for example, and become learned helplessness in here. Also the indication for depression or indication or pressure from peer. So I think the condition, psychological condition that maybe we can more concern, especially in the emotional challenges in here, emotional challenges or emotional condition in students in Sekolah Rakyat. Because why we do concern to the emotional challenges? Because these emotional challenges here is not only the background issue, it's not the background issue in here, but also we can see that this is the active determinants or causal. Yeah, causal, and it's related with their academic path, with their academic learning process in the school. For example, like when they get indication with their anxiety or maybe their stress, it can relate or determinants with their, it's not easy for them to like focus or concentrate during the learning process in the class. So again, the emotional challenges or emotional condition and psychological condition in here is very, very strong relate with the academic performance in the classroom. Yeah.
Okay, because for myself, I can really agree as a former student, I believe that emotional challenges are the toughest.
Yeah.
Obstacle for us students, especially just in a very, very small example. For example, when we want to ask something in a class, but we are not confident enough to ask the teacher, I think So I really can relate to this matter that you're talking about. So, yeah. Since there are a lot of challenges, including emotional challenges, in a school that serves vulnerable or underserved communities, how do you see the role of teachers evolving into emotional caregivers or even second parents? Yeah. And how do psychologists support this transformation since this is a boarding school concept?
In this boarding school concept that serve the vulnerable or underserved communities that we say like that, the role of the teachers is really very, very important things in here. Why? Because teachers is not only focusing on their teaching process in the class only, but also how they can be the teacher in here. They become like second parents for the children. It's like a second parents for the children in the class, right? So teachers become like not only as a in responsibility in teaching processing also, but also they become like emotion. They become also motivator. They become also the motivator in here for their students, to emotional caregiver also, attachment figure also, a second parents for the students. So I think it's very necessary in here, and it's very essential a role as a teacher in here. So for example, like teacher role as attachment figure in here in the class, how they become an attachment figure and relate and helping their students in the pedagogy training, for example, in the classroom, become emotional model or become motivated when they face their students, they have like low self-confidence, for example, or low self-esteem, how they can become give a motivation for them to increase their self-confidence and self-esteem also. And in this case, teacher is not only as a one figure role, only responsible in this classroom processing, but also we can implement like teacher roles hand in hand, you know, with the psychologist, with the counselor, with the social worker, for example. They can hand in hand with many profession to support each other, to become to give more optimum in the education. For example, like how the teacher role is as a attachment figure, and how to hand in hand in psychologist or social worker or so counselor, for example, they can help, like they can supervise, they can give like more training in pedagogy and training about their curriculum, for example, how to increase, how to optimize their learning process in the classroom. For emotional model, for example, hand in hand, the joining together between teacher and psychologist, we can see also in psychologists can give like supervising process to teacher, so they can collaborations, or maybe they can give like a training for a psychological skill for the teacher also, or many programs that we can implement together. So we can see in here that the teachers in community concept of education, like in Sekolah Rakyat, is not only focusing in teaching again, but the transformation of teachers in here into emotional caregiver is very extra responsibility. It's become the heart of education, because they face like many diverse students in the classroom. Also, psychologists, social workers play a crucial enabling role, equipping teacher with the tools inside emotional support, psychological training, for example. So again, it can both of this profession can hand in hand or synergy and collaborations to support in the learning process. Yeah.
That's really good to hear. But in perspective of the reality, many of the children at Sekolah Rakyat may live in a close-knit or communal settings that resemble barracks. Does this environment influence their mental health, and what psychological support system have been put in place to help them thrive in such places or conditions?
In, like I said, that the communal living or communal living in barrack, for in barrack, it's very important things. Emotional support system. How to build in the emotional or social support systems. So Sekolah Rakyat can transform. It's like barrack style living into a psychologically enriching environment where children not only adapt, but how they can thrive, how they can foster their resilience in this barrack concept. So it's not only the communal living, they're living together, they're learning together, but how to implement the condition in this environmental, so we can develop their psychological skill, foster their resilience in here. Because I think it's very important how to concern in their psychological safeguard also. Again, when we focusing in the psychological safeguard, actually it's not only the responsibility, like we can name it, it's not only the responsibility from teachers only or psychologists or social workers only, but all the people around, surrounding the children, surrounding the students, is also has a responsibility to do that, to doing so. For example, like parents, parents also have a very important role in here. Also the neighbor, parents, neighbor, or maybe farmers, or maybe in many roles or many jobs surrounding the children, surrounding in this environmental, they have a responsibility also to help to support each other in here, and to provide the psychological safeguard, because it's related with the optimum in their learning process and successfully of the students in the future.
Thank you so much for the insights, Dr. Zakira. Thank you so much for the insights. And of course, we are now in the end of the afternoon VOI talk. But again, just like what's mentioned by our interviewees today, it's very important for the psychological of the students, not only the psychological effect or aspects of it, but also educational and also emotional support, and even the environmental support of the area that the children will be grown and also learned. Thank you very much, Doctor, for joining us today. And this is Unika. See you on the next VOI talk.
Thank you very much for having me. Bye.
That's what I feel. Hold my hand and dance with me. A nation with a soul. Symphony of sights and sounds. Across the beautiful nature line. You'll find the colors of paradise. Oh, what a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful. A wonderful indoor.
Voice of Indonesia.
RRI Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRI Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
senyumanmu yang lebar, yeah. Kita sama-sama pernah terluka, kita sama-sama pernah disakiti, kita sama-sama ingin berhenti,
untuk terus mencari.
Lupakanlah semua, kita mulai sesuatu yang indah. Kita sama-sama pernah terluka, kita sama-sama pernah disakiti, kita sama-sama ingin berhenti, lupakanlah semua, kita mulai sesuatu yang indah. Kita sama-sama pernah terluka, sama-sama pernah disakiti, kita sama-sama ingin berhenti,
untuk terus mencari.
Lupakanlah semua, kita mulai sesuatu yang indah.
Thank you very much for listening to our program. You can give us some comments or inputs to our email voilisteners@gmail.com or our social media, Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voi_official. More VOI talks and other contents is available on our YouTube channel VOI Official. Thank you very much for listening and stay tuned on Radio Service Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.